Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
The idea, if you want any indication that it has nothing to do with fairness, nothing to do with decency, they pass a law saying you can't provide water for people standing in line while they're waiting to vote. You don't need anything else to know that this is nothing but punitive, designed to keep people from voting. You can't provide water for people about to vote. Give me a break.
Okay, so you heard me talking maybe a few minutes ago with Ellison Bennett about this. This was the headline that everybody was reporting, including we even reported it last week, I'm ashamed to admit, that Georgia passed this sweeping election law that prohibits anybody from giving water to people while they're standing in line to vote. Headline, Reuters, Georgia bans giving water to voters in line under sweeping restrictions. Headline, I went the wrong way, am I clicking? Headline, The Hill, Georgia law makes it a crime to give food, water to people waiting in line to vote. Headline, CNN, it's now illegal in Georgia to give food and water to voters in line. And then one of my personal favorites was PolitiFact, question from Facebook post, the Georgia House passed a bill that, quote, makes it a misdemeanor to give food or water to voters waiting in line, end quote. Okay. Like many news stories, you should always check your gut reaction and also just your spider sense. Does it seem likely that a state legislature would pass a law that makes it completely illegal to give water to people standing in line while they're getting ready to vote? I mean, just on the surface, does that seem like the kind of thing that reasonable people would do? Well, no, and that's why everybody's reaction to this is, what the what? Right? Okay. So then you have a question, number two. Doesn't seem like the kind of thing reasonable people would do. So then your question is, yeah, but that's them Georgia Republicans. Or, does the law say that? Should be your second reaction. And I admit, I had that reaction after a minute, but my first reaction was, what? And you got to check your intuitions. So what do? You go read the law. That's what you do. You go read the law if you're a journalist. So I went and I read the law, or at least I read the relevant section. And, okay, sure enough, you have a section, section 33 on page 73 of SB 202 out of Georgia. No person shall solicit votes in any manner or by any means or method. Nor, which is standard phraseology. You're not supposed to electioneer, solicit, give bribes, that kind of stuff. Nor shall any person distribute or these are in the code already. Okay, these are existing, and then there's the add-in here in a second. Nor shall any person distribute or display any campaign material, and this is all close to a polling place, right? And here's the new phrasing, the new line. Nor shall any person give, offer to give, or participate in the giving of any money or gifts. So the key substance is money or gifts, including but not limited to food and drink to an elector. And then it goes on, nor shall any person solicit signatures for any petition, nor shall any person other than election officials discharging their duties establish or set up any tables or booths on any day in which ballots are being cast within 150 feet of the outer edge of any building within which a polling place is established, within any polling place, and so forth. Okay, that's standard phraseology. So it says, first of all, nobody can give food or drink or money or gifts or anything else. No, it doesn't say water. It says drink, which is an interesting choice. I don't know whether there's a legal distinction in Georgia law between water and drink because, you know, all laws are read as if the words are all chosen deliberately. But I was curious what water, if at all, was mentioned in the bill. Because water's the big headline, but water's not actually mentioned in that part of the bill. Well, lucky for me, there's another section of the bill. And the other section of the bill says this. This code section shall not be construed. Pay attention. This code section shall not be construed to prohibit a poll officer from distributing materials as required by law, which are necessary for the purpose of instructing electors, or from distributing materials provided by the Secretary of State, and this is not quite the new part, which are designed solely for the purpose of encouraging voter participation in the election being conducted. Here's the new part. Or from making available self-service water from an unattended receptacle to an elector waiting in line to vote. Meaning it specifically says that poll officers are allowed to create drink stations. Self-service, unattended. The unattended is to avoid people like electioneering, to protect you from being interfered with while you're trying to exercise your right to vote. So you can put with water bottles, you can put a little like a golf course, you know, drink station with a big tub and some, you know, triangular teepee cups, whatever. No problem. It's protected. Now, it doesn't mandate they do it, but it is allowed. So what does the bill actually say? The bill says, what the headline should say is, only election officials are allowed to give water to people in line waiting to vote. That's what it should say. And even there, you can't give it to them directly, but you create these unmanned stations. And do you have to look real far into the bill to find this? Yeah, four lines down from the other section. Meaning if you're reading section 33, you just didn't finish reading the section. Because this is actually part of the... headlines matter, okay? Headlines give impressions. Headlines are often all that people see in their news feed before they share something or react to something. A lot of the articles that I read did not mention this. Some did. Some did. PolitiFact is the most egregious because PolitiFact is supposed to be this fact-checking resource that goes through and looks to see whether the claims being made on social media or anywhere else in the media are accurate. And it went through a whole explanation of this provision of the bill and then rated the claim true and didn't even mention the part about election officials being allowed to put water stations out. Didn't even mention it in the analysis. Unbelievable. Listen, just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. That's your first job. Just tell the truth. Try to give people the information they need. I actually don't have much of an opinion about the Georgia election bill. I haven't read the whole thing. Okay, I haven't read, I don't have an opinion. But this one section, you've been lied to about. It's been heavily misrepresented. And again, what's your first intuition? What should it be when somebody says, hey, these people did a completely outrageous thing that everybody knows is outrageous? Well, maybe, or maybe it's being misrepresented. 716 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, taking a look at southbound Garcon Point Bridge. It's pretty delayed. It's delayed right after you get onto the bridge. You're going to be met right away with those. So it's going to move a little slower. Expect about 20 minutes extra to your commute. Northbound also moving slow as you get onto the bridge until you get through the toll plaza. Once you get to the toll plaza, it does check in clear the rest of the way towards I-10. I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly along with Garcon, or should I say the front gate of NES Pensacola and the back gate. No delays to report from Blue Angel Parkway or Gulf Beach Highway, Mobile Highway through Scenic Highway also reporting no delays. And this report is brought to you by Central Credit Union. Hit the open road or open waters with the RV or boat of your dreams with rates as low as 3.5% APR. You can apply at ccufl.org. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
All right, you wake up on a Monday and you get a call from your facility in Orlando, and they say, we got a problem, you got to get here. And then you get another call, and they say, it's the place outside of Atlanta, like, dude, you got to get here. And you, what do you do? Well, you can hope to figure it out on regular airlines, maybe. Or you just call Captain Eric at Southeast Air Shuttle, and you say, hey, man, you free today? He's free today. Can you get me to Orlando and then to Atlanta? Yeah, no problem. What time are we leaving? Now? Okay, go. You know, get to the airport, fuel up the plane. I mean, fuel up, you know, spin up the propeller and go. I mean, that's it. See, the whole idea of Southeast Air Shuttle is to give you the freedom to get places you need to get to right now that are, you know, kind of inconvenient for other forms of travel. If you had your very own plane, this is what you'd be able to do. That's what Captain Eric provides. Southeast Air Shuttle, your no-line airline where you fly when you want, not when you're told. Find out more at flysoutheast.com.
Yeah.
everyone, here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola in the Morning News. And coming up in about 40 minutes, well, about 45 minutes, really, we're going to have Representative Matt Gaetz here in studio for a full hour taking your questions and your texts at 437-1620, 437-1620. We'll just, whenever we do this, the hour is over before you know it because everybody wants to ask him questions, and that's perfectly fine. That's the whole idea, is to make your congressman available to you on the radio for about an hour. That's, again, coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. Meanwhile, if you live on the beach, Santa Rosa Island Authority and Escambia County are hosting a public input meeting today, this evening, from 5:30 to 7. The question is whether to make Areola a one-way road and then to open Avenidas 19 to 22 between Maldonado and Areola. So this would be a fairly significant off-the-main-track path driving change or roadway change that they're going to discuss tonight. Again, that is tonight from 5:30 to 7. That's at Pensacola Beach Fire Station 13 on the question of changes right around Areola, Maldonado, and 19 to 22 on the Avenidas. 722, News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
There's a new poll out shows a majority of Americans do not approve of President Biden's handling of the situation at the border or efforts to control gun violence. ABC Ipsos poll showing 57% don't favor his handling of either issue. Health officials concerned about recent trends in coronavirus infections, even as more and more people are being vaccinated.
Cause for concern. Early epicenters of the pandemic seeing infections rise. New York and New Jersey now hot spots once again. And in King County, Washington, an official warning, a fourth wave may be coming.
That's NBC's Sam Brock reporting. The CDC director says she's deeply concerned about the trajectory of cases. And somebody in Florida, the winner of Saturday's $238 million Powerball jackpot, winning tickets sold just outside Tampa at a Publix. Cash option, $160 million.
All right, Mark, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, the... If you take, so I stopped publishing the daily numbers. I will return to publishing daily numbers if need be. I just don't need, it doesn't need to happen just yet. I'm doing it weekly, basically. I'm trying to do it on Tuesdays. So look for those tomorrow. But here's the deal. The numbers have plateaued. And that's bad news because we were declining, right? Flattening the curve is good when you're going up. Flattening the curve is bad when you're going down. And if you look at, you know, the one metric that I keep telling you is the most useful metric to look at, that's rate of infection per 100,000 people. I don't know why they don't do it per 1,000. Just, you know, statisticians, they're weird. But it's because it's a hard number to wrap your brain around. Okay, out of 100,000. But it's right now, 100 is bad. 100 is red. Okay, that's 100 people per 100,000, or one per 1,000, if you want to think of it that way, that have been infected, tested positive in the last 2 weeks. That's what the number means. It's a density of infection in your area. Across the entire United States, it's at 313 as of yesterday. It had gotten down to just under 300. It has been as high as, in the country, it's been as high as about 950, something like that. In the, that's the state of Florida I'm looking at. That's we've come back up just a little bit. In the nation as a whole, we are right around 250, and it has been as high as right over 1,000. So similar trajectory, okay? Locally, in Santa Rosa, it's gotten down to being 152. Really good. I mean, there's been 9 cases each of the last 2 days, I think, 9 resident cases, if I remember correctly. And deaths are way down in Santa Rosa County at the moment. So 150, that's really good because the peak had been 1,371. So it was really bad, and now it's gotten to be much better. And in Escambia County, similar trajectory, but even better results. It's at 110. So it is almost below the 100 threshold, but not quite. And it had been as high as just over 1,233 was the highest that it had been. Here's my point. It had been declining, and now we're getting to the point where it's like really low numbers, but it's hard to keep going even lower. And it has kind of plateaued. Still a relatively high if you're above 100, but it's not a terrible number. So we're watching to see if the trends pick back up, if variants take over, if the vaccinations don't come, because vaccinations is still going to be a slow thing getting that to produce the results that we want to. Hospitalizations are still very, very low here locally. The death rate is still very low here locally, and people are getting vaccinated. So those are all good markers. But it is something to kind of keep an eye on, which I do every day, but it's just not bad enough that I'm going to keep reporting on it every single day. 725 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge as we go southbound. down. You're going to be met with some delays as you're getting before the hump. So I would expect 15 minutes extra going into Gulf Breeze. Northbound showing some delays throughout the entire span of the bridge. It's moving a little bit slower, and once you get through the toll plaza, you're not going to see any more delays, thankfully, as you're heading towards I-10 this morning. I-10, I-110, checking in clear. Davis Highway not really showing any delays, along with Bayou Boulevard. And also Scenic Highway through Mobile Highway, 9 Mile Road. All these areas are checking in clear. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you open a business, why do you do it? You do it to provide a product or a service to people that you believe in, that you value, that you think people will believe in and value and buy from you, right? That's what you do. Whether it's medical service or legal advice or HVAC or car repair, whatever it is, okay? You didn't, most likely, unless you're weird, you didn't get into business so that you could figure out benefits and try to compare which insurance plan is the best or which dental plan is the best or which HR tool out of the 50 gazillion that are out there is the best one for your exact needs, right? And in fact, most business owners, you hate that stuff. Like, you know you need to do it, you know it's important, but you really don't like it. It's not fun. And it takes time away from doing the stuff that you love, that you're good at, that you got into business to do. Well, that's where Torgerson Causey comes in. They like that stuff. They're good at it. They're kind of nerds. You know, when it comes to that stuff, they care about that, and they got into business to help you get that stuff done, take it off your plate, and then you can do the stuff that you care about. Whether it's benefits or HR or payroll or anything like that, 20 years serving local customers, Torgerson Causey can help you get a free, no-obligation review of your program today, 433-9996. We started using them at News Radio, and they gave us options. I love that. Options are good. The website is tcbenefitsgroup.com. So I don't know if you saw this. The P&J had a really good article about a story that I was not familiar with. I've only lived here about 7.5 years. But National Airline Flight 193, which crash-landed into the Escambia Bay on May 8th of 1978. For those of you who have been here a long time, you'll remember this. The 727 went down, and Glenn McDonald, who's a tugboat operator, managed to help rescue a bunch of people. This is a crazy story. He was lost in the fog trying to go do repairs over on the trestle, the Graffiti Bridge trestle, I think is how I understood it, towing a barge behind him with a crane. He got lost in the fog and disoriented, and the plane came down like 100 yards from him. He was in exactly the right place in order to help rescue 55 people from that terrible crash. He just passed away at the age of 84 this month of heart failure, and man, what a hero. It says he always regretted the three people he couldn't save, which is exactly what people do, but man, amazing. And to talk about God providing to take care of these people in that terrible event.
Fox News. I'm Lillian Wu. Fox News confirms the surge of migrant children at our southern border is expected to last at least 7 months. And the White House is now reaching out,
begging for help from any government worker willing to volunteer. A memo reads in part, the Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR, needs current federal government civilian employees for up to 120-day deployment for unaccompanied children. And ORR provides a continuum of care for children, including placements in foster care, shelter, and residential care providers.
Fox's Marion Rafferty. At least four people are dead after heavy rains wash across Tennessee. More than 100 had to be rescued.
Police say one man died in his submerged car, and another man got out of his car and then was swept away by the water. Another two were found near a homeless camp.
Fox's Rob Dawson. America's listening to Fox News.
You know more because you get your news on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Proves that marches, peaceful assemblies, are critical change agents. Oftentimes in this chamber, we say unnecessary bills are solutions in search of problems, but I'll say that this bill is a problem and the solution already exists, and it's called American democracy. Our right to peaceful protest should not be suppressed.
Absolutely. I completely agree. She's exactly right. Kamya Brown, Representative Kamya Brown, talking about HB 1 that passed out of the House on Friday, the Florida State House of Representatives, completely agreed. You should not be limiting peaceful protest. We should be doing everything we can to protect peaceful protest. In fact, that's what the advocates of this bill say this does, is this helps distinguish between peaceful protest, which should absolutely be protected, and riot, which should absolutely be thwarted and punished and discouraged. And so I think they're right about that.
America was born out of protest. There is no need to really give a history lesson today to this educated body of legislators, but it is worth noting that our great revolt, our great civil action, our mighty stance against Great Britain is how the United States was born.
Yeah, no, she's right. Yet, let's be honest, there's no government that's ever going to say violent revolt and destruction of property is okay. Yeah, we did it against Great Britain, but when are you ever going to find that be permitted? It's a weird situation because we all celebrate the revolution, and yet you got to make revolution illegal. You have to, revolution has to be illegal, right? You can't have people taking up arms. Because here's, like, for example, if you take Kamya Brown seriously with her point, would she condemn the attack on the Capitol because a bunch of insurrectionists believed that the election was rigged? Well, no, she would condemn that, of course, right? Obviously, she would condemn that. But the line of thinking that she's advocating, well, we took a riot against Britain and we turned it into freedom. Okay, but you cannot consistently affirm that as a going forward policy of any government that exists. So you have to limit political response to peaceful protest and not allow for violence, the destruction of property, and intimidation of people. Now, it's kind of interesting because the law on this is fascinating. You know, I've told you before, I think there are genuine concerns about this bill, and I always want to protect peaceful protest. But the argument here on the other side is they slop their language around between peaceful protest and riot. They slop their language around and they say it's unconstitutional what you're trying to do. And it's not. Because precisely there's this distinction. Now, Representative Cordburn, who co-sponsored this legislation, he was the co-sponsor of the legislation with Representative Fernandez-Barquin, he actually took the time during debate on Friday to explain the legal history and the relevant Supreme Court precedent that is related to this bill.
The Constitution protects sometimes repugnant speech of the minority, not just the popular speech of the majority. But it does not protect violence.
Absolutely.
So we're going to begin our discussion today with Brandenburg versus Ohio, decided June 9th, 1969. And in that case, the Supreme Court of the United States said constitutional guarantees of free speech and free press do not permit a state to forbid or prescribe advocacy of the use of force or of law violation, except where such advocacy is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action.
So you can speak as much as you want. You can advocate stuff as much as you want until the point where you're actually advocating for violence. Then that speech is not protected. That is imminent incitement of violence is not protected, right? There are limits on free speech. That's one of the limits, according to the Supreme Court, and rightly so.
We next turn to a case decided in 1982 by the United States Supreme Court, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People versus Claiborne Hardware Company. And in that case, the United States Supreme Court made very clear the First Amendment does not protect violence. Let me repeat, the First Amendment does not protect violence. It also does not protect fighting words. Those that provoke immediate violence are not protected by the First Amendment. Similarly, words which create an immediate panic are not entitled to constitutional protections.
That's exactly right. So you have the NAACP versus Claiborne case. You have the Brandenburg versus Ohio case, which is a seminal case in Supreme Court jurisprudence. And then you have local cases like Florida versus Beasley.
And here's the important point that I want to point out in the Beasley case. Justice Overton said this: the legislature could adopt a statute which expressly defines the offense of riot, such as is contained in the federal statute. Such a statute can be more encompassing than the law definition of riot. A redrafting of our statute to include a definition is, however, not constitutionally required. But it is within our prerogative. It has been within our prerogative for the last 40 years, as stated in Beasley.
Meaning that there's an invitation by the Florida Supreme Court to engage in this, to allow this, to specifically almost request that we give these clarifications about what is a riot, what is it even an affray, and things like that. So here's the summary, and here's the part where I think the Republicans really hit it right. If you are against this bill, which thing that it outlaws do you think ought to be protected and legal?
Now, I want to go talk a little bit about what's actually in the crimes prohibited in the bill. It defines previously undefined terms of affray, rioting, and inciting a riot. It increases penalties for assault or battery, creates the crime of mob intimidation, burglary and theft offenses committed during a riot, crimes prohibiting a person from defacing, damaging, or destroying property, and in the crime of cyber intimidation. So I would ask those that oppose the bill, which of those crimes do you think should be legal? Which one of the actions that this bill will prohibit do you think should be lawful?
That's exactly right. Don't give me flowery speech about peaceful protest and chilling effects and Great Britain. Tell me which one of the things this bill actually prohibits you think ought to be lawful, you think ought to be legal. You can't do it without looking like a fool. And by the way, somebody texted me in and said, it's exactly right. I'm glad. I always love to have friends and listeners who remind me of things that you already know. When I said that you cannot have lawful revolution, right? You can't legalize the use of force, what I mean, of course, through violence. We do have legal revolution through elections. That's the idea of elections, is that you can stage a revolution every 2 years, every 4 years, depending on the term involved, and you can change the government if you don't like it. People who want to protect the right of violence, which there is no such right, but if they want to protect that, what they're saying is they don't believe in elections. They don't trust elections. They don't like elections. Elections are not good enough. We have to have something else to get our... And by the way, you understand that elections are the alternative to violence. I'm embarrassed to repeat myself too many times about a subject, but every time we talk about elections, I feel the need to say this. We vote as a way to not have civil war. You know, if 100,000 people are trying to decide what policy to follow, how do you figure it out if we all disagree? Well, you can just have a war, and then the winner wins, and then we do what they want, right? 60,000 on that side, 40,000 on this side, a lot of people dead, a lot of property destroyed. That's not great. Or we have a vote. 60,000 vote one way, 40,000 vote the other way. We do what the 60,000 says. Nobody has to die. That's what elections are. Elections are proxy warfare. In fact, the whole idea is to do warfare without the violence, is to change direction, conduct policy, if you want to have a revolution, without engaging in violence. 437-1620, 437-1620. Representative Fernandez Barquin mentioned that over the course of the last year, there were more than 500 riots and 2,000 cops hurt. Plus, it happened here in Florida. Oh, not to the degree it happened, you know, in other places, but it happened here. And we want to make sure it doesn't happen here. 7:46 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We've got Representative Matt Gaetz joining us here in about 20 minutes. We're going to take your calls for a full hour, a town hall, open Gaetz Day here on the radio with Representative Matt Gaetz. 437-1620, text or call in your questions. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
Yeah, a few areas to point out that are delayed. Both directions of Garcon Point Bridge are delayed on the full spans of each side, so just be ready to expect the pace, those delays, and have patience. Also, as you're traveling northbound, we're seeing some delays before you get to Mary Kitchens Road. Should clear up as you're approaching I-10. Southbound also showing some delays going towards I-10, backed up around Moores Oak Drive. Also, Highway 90 Causeway southbound heading on the 9 Mile Road, showing some delays. Also seeing some delays along Highway 29 if you are going between 9 Mile and I-10. There is construction going on in that area. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
So, you know, we always talk about Frontier Motors, how many cars they sell every single month. They've got a lot with about 400 used cars and trucks on it, and they sell about half of those every month. Okay, I don't mean to teach math on the radio, but if you sell 200 cars and trucks every month, then you have to buy 200 cars and trucks every month. That's right. They have to acquire the cars from somewhere because they don't make them. So they get them from all over. They get them from auctions. They get them from, you know, dealers. And one of the places they get them from is you. So if you have a good quality 1-, 2-, 3-year-old car with low miles on it and you want to sell it, I mean, you could sell it your own, okay, with the time and the frustration that brings, or you can just sell it to Frontier. Bring it into them, 15 minutes, they'll tell you how much it's worth and they'll buy it from you. Or maybe you want a consignment, sell it through them, and they'll try to get the best price that they can get or whatever, and then you get, right? They'll do that too. The point is, they need inventory. If you have one, you can work with them. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community, buying or selling used cars for the last 25 years, right behind that big buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
We are so close to the end. Let's ruin it. Okay, guys, but I say fourth, you say wave. Fourth,
wave.
Let's go.
Well, you know, Maya Rudolph is funny. She is. But question for Saturday Night Live. Why, when you have Joe Biden's, President Biden's very first 64 days in press conference full of material, do you instead go for the let's embarrass Miami with the false narrative about what happens down there? Just, you know, I mean, well, I know why. I know what the answer is. No, but to their credit, okay, to their credit, they did give Joe 16 seconds worth of satire. Vice President Harris, and I think it was her husband. I wasn't watching the whole sketch, but they were in the Oval Office talking, and then President Biden shows up.
How are you? Hey, did y'all catch my press conference? It was so easy. A lot of critics thought I wasn't mentally prepared enough, but I think I
looked at the cards,
proved them all wrong.
He's looking at cue cards to see that his line is proved them all wrong, because he was looking at the cue cards, the crib sheets, and the reporter information, which included circled faces and number in order to call on them, which some of my PR folks say that that's actually fairly standard. I didn't see President Trump doing it that way, but okay.
Oh, Kamala, not sure if you heard, but I'm putting you in charge of solving a little immigration problem down at the Mexican border.
Yes, I did hear that. Wow. Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. Such a fun, solvable problem. And what are you in charge of?
Moi, giving out checks. Who wants stimmies? Woo! Make it rain.
I mean, that's actually fairly on target, right? Hey, the unsolvable problem that you've completely botched in your first 60 days. Here, Harris, you do it. 7:51 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Opening statements get underway this morning in the trial of the former Minneapolis police officer accused of killing George Floyd. Derek Chauvin charged with murder for kneeling on Floyd's neck for several minutes during an arrest last May. President Biden may be considering keeping U.S. troops in Afghanistan past the May 1st deadline set by former President Trump.
We went in together. We've adapted to circumstances together, and we will come out together when the time is right.
On CNN's State of the Union, Secretary of State Antony Blinken says he's been discussing Afghanistan strategy with European partners on his trip to the continent this week. Ballots due today for the union vote that's been going on by mail at an Amazon warehouse in suburban Birmingham. The counting starts tomorrow. Results not expected for a few days if the effort prevails. Employees there will be the first Amazon workers to unionize anywhere in the country.
All right, Mark, thanks for the update. 7:53 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Time now for a quick shot of sports.
And again, what you want to do is force Oral Roberts to catch the ball heading back toward their own basket.
Uncover Thompson will inbound. Asemus against Davis. Asemus for the Elite Eight.
Yes, Arkansas narrowly hanging on to beat Oral Roberts. It was such a close one. But yes, that ended up happening. They did hold on to beat Oral Roberts, and they're going to be moving on to the Elite Eight. First time they did that since 1995. That year they won the national championship, so we'll see if history can repeat itself. But the Elite Eight will be continuing on, and that's going to go today. The two teams that we're going to see today, Oregon State, 12 seed, taking on number 2 Houston. So I guess the only Cinderella that's Yeah, the Beagle.
I live 30 minutes away from where they were in Oregon. So
I would say that Oregon State's probably the Cinderella run that we're having in the tournament left.
And UCLA.
It's UCLA though.
I know that's true.
Historically, they're the greatest college basketball team ever. So
it's like if Duke was like a 14 seed, you'd be like, well, yeah, but
it's Duke. Like they've won a lot. They're just having an okay year. But no, yeah, you mentioned UCLA. They're also moving on after they beat Alabama. Alabama hitting a buzzer to send it in overtime. And then forgot what a basketball looked like after that.
Exactly.
So, yeah. But I mentioned Arkansas. They're playing today against Baylor. That's going to be at 9 o'clock. The first game is at 6:15. Tomorrow's matchups are going to be taking place where you'll see UCLA and USC playing. I don't think they're playing each other. But then you'll also have Gonzaga.
UCLA's got Michigan.
And
USC's got Zaga.
And Michigan was the other team that was going to move on. Those games, again, are tomorrow. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot of sports.
And by the way, this year Duke was a 17 seed.
Narrowly left out, and they declined the NIT invitation. Oh, and by the way, Memphis won the NIT.
Okay,
yay! Right, yeah.
And
congratulations.
Woo.
That's a trophy you put in the case. So,
do you?
Like someone's holding onto the trophy.
All right, that means they were the 65th best team in the NCAA Division I this year.
Just give it to the senior captain.
All right, back to you, Davis, for traffic on the fives.
Yeah, Garcon Point Bridge southbound appears to be extremely delayed. Before you get to the toll plaza, even you're going to be met with some delays. I would estimate a 30-minute delay trying to get to Gulf Breeze. While northbound, just moving a little slower once you get through the toll plaza, you're going to be met with some delays once again around Mary Kitchens Road. So just looking a little touch and go on Avalon Boulevard. Highway 90 in East Milton backed up to Ward Basin Road westbound, trying to get into downtown Milton. Also seeing some slight delays on 9 Mile Road eastbound in front of the Navy Federal Complex. I'm Davis Allen with the traffic on the fives.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Ombudsman Program, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you a volunteer who loves a challenge? Do you have the talent and compassion to advocate for Florida's most vulnerable residents? Join a statewide network of volunteer citizens who help those who many times cannot help themselves. Call the Florida Ombudsman Program at 1-888-831-0404 or visit us at ombudsman.myflorida.com.
I got an Okaloosa. Matt Gaetz just walked in here, by the way, so we have him in the studio. We'll be taking taking your questions and texts for him coming up for a full hour, starting in about 8 or 9 minutes. But this comes out of near you, Congressman. Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office put up a post last week. A Crestview couple was arrested earlier this morning after the wife hit her husband in the back of the head with a burrito during an argument over his alcohol consumption. Classic story. Everybody's had this happen, right? The husband responded by stabbing his wife in the hand with a fork. This is from the Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office. The fork's four tines were so deeply embedded they had to be removed by staff at North Okaloosa Medical Center. Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office deputies were called into the Hare Street home of 51-year-old, I won't say the names, don't need to, and 66-year-old dude and dudette shortly before midnight after getting reports of a disturbance. They say was relatively calm, the dude, and in good spirits, but had a fork protrude out her from her right hand. Not a common injury. She told deputies she and Smith got into an argument, about his desire to go out to the bar to drink every night During the argument, she hit him in the back of the head with her half-eaten Taco Bell Burrito Supreme. Oh, I thought it was frozen. That's not even that bad. She said Smith then stabbed her hand with a fork he was using to eat a Taco Bell pizza and left their home. Well, he's a burrito, or he's a pizza and she's a burrito. Okay. Portions of the burrito were located on the floor, scattered on the sofa, and on the lampshade. So, you know, we have a great state. Oh, to put him out. Go ahead. What now?
I blame COVID.
You blame COVID.
Clearly,
yeah.
This is the type of thing that doesn't happen in
ordinary times. That's right. Clearly, this is people are feeling lonely, feeling suppressed, and feeling the need to vent some frustration. We'll have Congressman Matt Gaetz on for a full hour. Coming up next. Stick around.